Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to another episode of Betches Brides. I'm your host, Fallon Carter.
I don't know what y'all have been doing, but there's only a little time left to shop our exclusive Bachelorette merch. Head over to thebetches.co/brides to shop our limited edition Bachelorette collection, exclusively on the Betches shop. From cute tote bags to a light-up compact mirror, give your bride squad the gifts they'll actually use again and again. But it's only available through June 9th. So head over to betches.co/brides to shop now. And also, just to pivot really quickly, I just was watching Queen Charlotte. I sat and watched the whole thing. So when I'm not working, I love TV. And I as much as I would love to not, I love movies. I love television. Like, that's my thing. So I was like, when I'm not planning a wedding, I decompress by watching television. And generally the shows are watching me, but this Queen Charlotte show, this was a show that I watched. I actually sat down and put my eyes on TV and I watched it. It was great. And so don't gasp when you hear this, but I've never seen Bridgerton. I know. Everyone, let's hold it. That's okay. Everyone's fine. And now I'm like, maybe I'll go watch that show. I also didn't know it was a Shondaland. Miss Shonda knows. Shonda, you know how to make a show, girl. Because I was so sucked in to this whole Queen Charlotte situation. There was so much depth to, I can't even believe I'm talking about this show like this. But there was so much depth to that. I was like, all right, okay. It was so good. So if you haven't seen it, and like the way people were telling me to go watch Bridgerton, I was like, yeah, I'm okay. I think I'm not going to go watch Bridgerton and get into the depth of that show. So I am late to the party. I know. Also, didn't watch Game of Thrones all the way. I know, shoot me down, do what you want to. I made it to the Red Wedding or whatever wedding and they killed everybody. I'm sorry, spoiler alert. And I cried for a week because I had fallen in love with I'm an empath, if you didn't know. I can fall in love with some characters on a show and when they go away, I am distressed. I didn't have, what? So that show was, Game of Thrones, way too dramatic for me, not my aesthetic, but this Queen Charlotte one, I felt it on every level. I felt it from the, it was so good to me. I dig it. What it's like being a wife, what it's like if you're deciding not to be a wife. There's so many juicy things. Okay, we're not here for this. We're here to talk to Dana today. We got a guest on. And we're gonna talk through some things. I think what I want to express is intentions are extremely important when planning your wedding, but also having a really positive outlook on the planning process. And also, a wedding itself is a huge luxury. The concept of a wedding itself is not a necessity, so it is a luxury in itself. So if you're gonna do it, don't always look for the cheapest thing and don't think that everything is way out of your budget because you might surprise yourself. So lean into making it the best that it can be if you're going to go for it anyway. Otherwise, you could just elope. But if you're going to have a wedding and you're going to invite people to have this experience with you and to celebrate your love story, lean into it and have the mindset of everything that you want for this wedding is possible. It is achievable and it will fit within your budget. But if you go from the mindset of, oh, everything is too expensive, we don't have this much money, then guess what? That will be your experience. But you got to set up your mind that everything is going your way. The vendors are going to lay at your feet and they're going to fit right in your budget. The dress you try on is going to be exceptional and the guests are going to love it. And they're going to come up to you and be like, oh my God, this is the best wedding we've ever been to. The music is fire. The food was bomb. Like, this is great. Have those thoughts because your anxiety will drive this wedding planning and it will kill you. Trust me, I plan 13 weddings at one time. I see it all. So I can tell you right now, you got to come from a huge place of positivity if you're going to take this on. So pro tip, you're going to have to smile. It's going to get crunchy, but you're going to make it out beautifully. But you got to have the mindset that this is going to be the best day, because that's what you want it to be. It's not the best day of your life, but it's going to be one of the best days. And hire the necessary people to make this one of the best days so you can actually be yourself fully. This is the one day that you get to be deliciously selfish, like all of it. Make this the most selfish day of your life if you can. Give it all you got. So like lean into it, have a positive mindset, understand that everything is going to go your way if you think it will. All right, let's hop into this episode and meet Dana.
Hey, Dana, how are you?
Hi, Fallon. I'm great. It's great to be here.
I'm happy to have you. So Dana, what's your partner's name?
His name is Gilbert.
Hi, Gilbert. How did you and Gilbert meet?
We met on Tinder, actually. We're a Tinder success story.
Sponsored by? No. Shout out to Tinder. We love you for bringing all these lovely folks together. All right. So did you tell your parents you met on Tinder? Did you keep that internal?
No, my mom knows. Okay. She doesn't really know what it is, though. So she's just like, okay, it's online.
Yeah. Okay, cool. What year did you guys meet? Recently? 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
No, we met at the end of 2015. He actually proposed to me on our 7th anniversary.
Aw, 7 years. Lucky duck. Mm-hmm. Where did you propose? Where did Gilbert do it?
So we live in Eugene, Oregon, and there's a really gorgeous hike not far from where we live called Blue Pool. Okay. And we've been wanting to go for a while, and he planned it, like I said, on our anniversary and took me up there, and we had it to ourselves, and that's where he did it.
Well done. I've never been to Oregon, but I've heard amazing things. I heard you guys got all the good spots, so good. Kudos to you. Now tell us more about this big day. One, why plan a wedding in the first place? What's your intention behind that?
Yeah, so we're from very different places. We met here in Oregon. I grew up in Montana, and he's British, so grew up in England. And we kind of are seeing this as the only opportunity we're really ever going to get all of our friends, all of our family from all of our different parts of life together in one place. And so we briefly considered doing like an elopement thing, but we kind of thought we wanted to take this as a chance to have a big party with all the people we care about.
All right. I love that. Combining families, best intention ever. And they're coming from far and wide. And so technically this is a destination wedding for most of your guests.
Yeah, I'd say about like at least half of our guest list it's going to be a destination wedding for.
Cool. All right, so you guys are having a March 2nd, 2024?
Yep.
Date? Love. My birthday is March 3rd, so I'll celebrate with you guys.
Love it.
And tell me a little bit more about how many people you're expecting.
Yeah, so we're inviting 150 and giving people like free reign to bring plus ones.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're kind.
I don't think 150 people are going to come though. I think it's going to be smaller just because I don't know how confident we are about everyone from the British side of things being able to make it out to the West Coast for it. So expecting around maybe 120, 130 people, I think.
You think? You'll know soon enough. And when you guys started the planning, was it easy to put together this list? Was that list drastically higher? Or do you guys feel like you came to a pretty sensible list realistically easily?
I think we came to it pretty easily. Like I said, because this is all about like bringing people together, both of us were like, if there's someone we're on the fence about, unless there's a reason to not invite them, we should just invite them and they can make up their minds about whether they want to be there. Okay. Like we would rather be inclusive than exclusive with the guest list.
Okay. I love that. So you guys got your guest list together and you were like, look, we're inviting everyone. Bring your plus one if you want to. This is a come one, come all kind of celebration. We want as many people that we love in this same place as us. How did that impact your venue search? What were some of the things that were really important for you to find within a venue for all these people?
Yeah, so we started out looking in kind of two different directions. One, we were trying to find somewhere that was maybe very bare bones, very cheap, and we were going to try to do like piecemeal things together and make it very affordable. And then we found what ended up being our venue is this kind of chain of spaces in Oregon. They have like pubs and restaurants, and they do events, which we didn't know until we were planning. And they don't charge a venue fee if you meet meet a food and beverage requirement.
Minimum.
And and it was the food and beverage minimum for them was right around what we were being quoted from caterers for the other locations we were looking at anyway. So we ended up deciding on it because it was going to give us the most bang for our buck, basically.
I agree. Tell us a little bit more about this venue and what you really, other than the cost, which is like, kaboom, sign me up. I don't need to do anything else. What else was like, oh, this really works for us?
So it's a concert venue in Portland. It's called Crystal Ballroom. And when I found out that they did weddings, I almost immediately wanted to meet with them because we have like memories there between the two of us. We both love music, love going to concerts, and we've done a lot of that together. And we've been to a bunch of shows at this venue together. And so it was really meaningful for us. It's in a really easily accessible location for Portland. So anyone who's like coming can get there very easily. So that was a big decision. And then it's very turnkey. Like we need to figure out play settings and table decorations, but I don't really need to do anything to make the space look nice.
Yeah. And that's, I guess working with couples who are looking for that, it's such a dream when they find it. It's like, what are your priorities? Like making that initial list before you start your venue search and then landing on one that really hits it home is like, oh, so it's like they do exist. Wait until you get it. But this, it sounds like you guys made a really great decision. It felt good in your gut. You didn't have to, nothing was stressful. You weren't trying to maneuver things. And that's when you know it's right. So
exactly,
you found this really great venue. It's hitting all the points. And how into music are you guys? It's a concert hall. Are you going to do some music things in here? What are you thinking?
Yeah. So, we are, but I'm a little bit of a control freak.
You don't say.
In the best way possible, but yeah.
So I'm
going to have control of our playlist, and I might delegate that, but we're not like hiring a band or a DJ or anything. The venue comes with AV support and they'll hook everything up. And then all we really need to do is connect a laptop. And I've part of what I'm doing on our RSVPs is asking everyone, for a song that is guaranteed to get them on the dance floor. And then I'm compiling a playlist of that music so that everybody feels like their taste is
you've
included.
Been seen. You've been heard. All right. So you've got this turnkey venue. Talk to me about some of the things that come with the space right now and what's really included. Because you just mentioned AV. And that's, to me, finding a venue that already has the sound built in or a sound tech or even lighting is like huge, like big deal. Love it. Sign me up. It can end up being a huge price marker. When you're using a venue, like you mentioned, you were trying to go for more of a space that was raw and you brought all these other components in. AV and lighting is something that's generally overlooked. So you found one that has it. Good job. And what else do they have?
So they have all of our wait staff is included in the food and beverage minimum. And obviously food and beverages, basically everything but the cake in the meal department is included. Tables, chairs, dishes, although I need to see what the dishes look like. I might still consider getting an outside vendor to bring in nicer things, but they do have the option of just using in-house dishes, which is very nice. And like linens and play settings and all that good stuff are included.
Okay. And yeah, I think when we're working at a turnkey venue, that's one of the first questions we ask. Kind of give us your rundown list of everything that's included, especially photos, so that we can understand what your flatware, your glassware, your china already look like. And like you're saying, maybe upgrade some of the elements that you're not too crazy about. So you guys did a site visit. You loved it. It came with everything you need. What was the next step? Did you guys do a tasting already? Do you get to pre-pick your menu? Talk to us about that process.
So they have preset menus. We're going to meet with them, obviously, quite a bit closer, probably end of this year sometime, and do a tasting. They have, it's going to be buffet, and they have preset buffet menus. I'm a vegetarian, so I'm pretty happy with just doing like a vegetarian buffet, which also happens to be the cheapest option. But he kind of thinks we should cater at least a little bit to the meat eaters. So I think we're going to talk to them about how we can maybe do a little custom line.
Okay, perfect. Are some of your people vegetarian, or are you? Would you be the only one, or you're like one out of 20?
I think I'd be like one out of 10, 15, and then a handful of people don't care one way or the other. But we definitely, especially coming from the Montana side, we have some people who they want their meat.
They'd be like, whoa, 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 whoa. They would be ordering some hamburgers to the venue. and I think having an extremely inclusive menu is a huge deal. I think leaning towards something that everyone can find comfort in is definitely a pro tip. So as someone who's vegan and gluten-free, if I did a vegan gluten-free menu, I'd probably not have any guests after the dinner. So I'm happy that you're thinking that through and working on that.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. So Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any six styles. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. There are no parameters. You get access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees. There's no late fees, no damage fees, no fees to pause or cancel. So no big deal if you like lose a button. Uh-oh, I spilled something on it. Or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing all the way up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BRIDES20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code BRIDES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code BRIDES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It sounds like you're in a good spot. You've still got a handful of months to go. You got a venue that kind of does everything. Where are you leaning at now?
So I think a lot of my questions, the things that are giving me anxiety are, like, I'm a planner, so I want to know, like, what am I missing? Like, these things are included. What's not included that I might not be thinking about? Like, I know that a DJ isn't included, so I've got that figured out. I know that a photographer isn't included, so I've got that figured out. But like, what, you know, what are those other elements that add to the experience that I might not be considering?
Yeah. When not working with a planner who can kind of give you that rundown, I always say, ask the venue. And generally I'm like, ask the venue, hey, what have other couples done here? And what are some other touch points that you think that you find beneficial to the guest experience? And sometimes they'll tell you kind of their pain points and where they kind of, I don't want to say lack, but where they're not best suited for. And generally with a venue that's turnkey, they can easily say, oh, we definitely love it when you bring extra signage. Whether that be bar signage or a welcome sign or sometimes directional signage to point people to where the bathrooms are if they're complicated to get to. Like sometimes you'll get a really fun venue operator and she's like, you know what? I hate our napkins or this is really ugly. I really think you should upgrade this. So it's really talking to them. And once you see those visuals of your flatware, your glassware, your china, your linens, your chairs, that's when I say identify your budget and identify a place where you might want to splurge. I love to upgrade a good table linen. I think it can really transform a space with you keeping the same chair sometimes. But an elevated linen does go miles in comparison to your general poly. And that a poly is a regular poly, cotton blend linen. So, but if you're like, you know what, Fallon, I'm sticking with that poly, whatever it is, I don't care. Then I think it's adding enhanced menu cards. And sometimes the venues like this will be like, we do all the menus, we'll print them for you, we'll print the place cards. And you're like, you could, but the paper is going to be flimsy and the names are just, it's just going to look a little, sometimes a little dated. So I think if you're looking to just enhance it just a little bit, adding some special touches to your tabletop is generally all that you need to do. And I think since you're probably going to bring in some floral decor, I think that's also a given. And I think just any general decor is pretty much all you'll ever need for a turnkey venue to enhance it.
Perfect. I love that. That's very helpful.
Good. So have you been thinking about enhancing any of your things or what are you guys thinking as far as tabletop stuff?
Yeah. So I'm doing DIY flowers. Okay. I'm also doing fake florals, just silk flowers to save a bit of money there.
There is a company that does it and they do fake floral rentals and I've seen some of them and they actually look really real. So something to consider as a thing, as much as anyone loves DIY, I don't think I've ever heard anyone after a DIY project saying that was awesome. I can't wait to do that again. So just thinking through if you're still like on the economic front, there are companies now that rent the fake flowers in full blooms already set up, ready to go. You open the box, you pull it out the box, you sit it on the table. It looks awesome. And then you can take it from there. And also since AV is included, I would say, and probably lighting as well. Lighting this room is going to be a great way to add some decor economically to it. Like adding that shadow and dimension to the space and maybe pin spotting on those lights is going to be really lovely. But I would say look into a company that can rent it and put it together for you. So that way after the event, you just put it back in the box and ship it back to them. I think you can focus on that playlist more if you outsource these flowers.
Love it. That's the important part.
Yes. It's like music is major key. So you're doing some flower things, you're working through that. And then talk to me about photography and where you guys are leaning there.
Yeah. So I was actually very much in the side of not hiring a photographer. That was the reaction I got from everyone. I was very convinced that I had this whole plan to put a QR code to a Google Drive on our play settings and just tell everyone to upload the pictures that they take and use those. And I was informed by every single person I told that plan of that it was a terrible idea. So I went hunting. And my big reason behind that is that neither of us really wants kind of like the traditional, like lots of posed pictures or anything like that. I really just want like pictures of the moments as they're happening. But so the way I compromised is I went on to like a local wedding Facebook group and posted saying, you know, I'm looking for someone who can specialize in like pictures that almost look like you're at a concert instead of at a wedding. And this girl who she is a concert photographer by trade and she's like breaking into weddings messaged me. Mm-hmm. She's like, I got you. Her rate for weddings is much more affordable than a lot of others that I've looked at. And it was a match made in heaven. Her style is perfect for us. So
perfect. Awesome. I love that. And I just want to say to anyone that's listening, I know that you guys are all like, I don't want to be posed. I don't want to do this. But there's one complaint I've had from couples and it's like, my mom doesn't have an actual picture of us as the actual married couple to sit on the mantle. Like, so I know in a world we want to urge, everyone's non-traditional. We can just go ahead and say that here. We're all non-traditional. We all want something that's cool and quirky and fun. But in 20 years from now, you will want at least one photo of the both of you standing like normal people in front of a camera, smiling to memorialize the day that you got married. I'm just telling you that right now. Come for me if you want to. And yes, you do want an engagement session because you need a picture before when y'all were single and before those raggedy kids come and make you old and gray. You want to remember how young and beautiful you looked before you walked down the aisle. So I'm just telling you right now, hire the photographer and do all the shoots with them because you need these pictures. All right. I am glad that you have taken the route to hire. You're going to be so happy. And I think what's even more amazing is you knew exactly what you were looking for. And you went out and asked for it and you found it. And I think that's going to give a lot of people permission to, if you don't want the superposed ones, yes, you need a few, but if you want that editorial, if you want a more fashion forward, identify the style of photography of how you want to be seen and captured and what's going to really make your heart smile 10, 20 years from now. Lean into that because these are your pictures and it's telling your love story and that's super paramount. And your parents need something to put on their fridge. So I'm happy. I can't wait to see your concert pictures. That's going to be super saucy. I want to look like if you were at a concert. That's kind of dope. All right. But now you had the idea to not hire the photographer. You told people and they were like, girl, you have lost your mind. And so you did it, but you found what you wanted. So why not DJ?
There's a couple reasons. One is a budget thing, but two, I hope I don't like insult anybody saying this.
Insult us. Let's go. Spit it out.
I don't like DJs. I love weddings.
You haven't heard
dancing,
the right one.
So yeah, that's true. That one probably comes with like a really steep price tag though. Like every wedding I've ever been to, they're even ones where I'm like, this person's good. They'll do things like cut off a song in the middle of it when people are vibing or play something that like, I know for a fact the bride specifically said, do not play this because somebody else came up and requested it. And I think I would just have a hard time letting go of control of that aspect because I like that part is so important to me. It makes me nervous to let go of it.
Well, I think the first thing to realize is those DJs weren't your DJ. They weren't your wedding DJ. So the experience you were having at that event, of course it wasn't working for you because it wasn't your event technically. Mm-hmm. And I think understanding those pain points, and these are similar pain points that I have to work through with my clients. They're like, I don't want anyone who talks too much. I don't want anyone who makes those quirky announcements in between, like, yo, put your hands up, like, please stop. And then it's like, this is my do not playlist. Please make this paramount. Fallon, if you hear the song, go over and trip him and, you know, push him down. So like tackle him. I was like, I got you, girl. So I think it's, to me, a DJ, and that mixing is a thing. Like mixing is where you have to transition the song. Because what I find is when you're playing a song too long, it's like, all right, we all know this song. Can we move on to the next one? So I think the concept of a DJ is to ride the rhythm of a room and to keep the music at a pace where it's like, oh, we definitely need to build this moment up. They're the person that can change the entire mood of the room with one hit of a button. And that I think it would be more beneficial than a playlist just because the playlist is just going to run these songs unless you're having someone really curate it to where it actually makes sense. Because if you just press shuffle, it's going to be like, if I'm hearing James Brown 1 second and then Celine Dion the next minute, I'm like, yo, this party is all over the place. So it's like, how do you managing the room? And I think we've already done an episode on how important music is to the quality of your event. Having a professional that knows what they're doing and making sure that it is in alignment with your vision is what's important. Yes, I understand you're a control girl, but having that playlist already set is like, hey, DJ, if you could mix these songs in the order of the BPM, how it's supposed to flow with the beat, because there is magic to the way the bodies move. And then if you switch it in, it's a slow thing. And it's like, okay, now I'm going in another direction. It's you need a DJ. Like, I know you don't want one, but if you have someone maybe championing that playlist that can mix the songs right, like, because this isn't just a regular old party. This is your wedding day. And if there's any time to splurge, it is on this day. You can have a day that you, on the after party, you can play the playlist, but this is the wedding day. And if you're making the investment to give it your all and you want to be the planner and the control person, then do it right at every turn corner that you can. Cool. Give it your all. You got this.
Fair.
So fair. I was like, I'm talking you into everything. I was like, what else do you need to be talked into? But I think on the outcome, I think you'll be really happy knowing that you didn't have to think about that playlist. Because what if there's an ad that drops in the middle? What if, you know, something happens to the laptop? What if it overheats? What if the dongle thing doesn't work? The real reason I have a DJ is so I can have someone troubleshoot all the things that don't make sense to me. And I know you got an AV person, so you've already got great sound. All you need is someone in to come in, bring that mixing board, and tell them to hook this thing up and turn this party on. It's a concert hall. It will be sick. I think it'd be major, but that's my opinion.
I like your thoughts. Opinion.
What do you think? What do you think? What are you feeling? What are you feeling?
Yeah. I think it'll take convincing my fiance. I'm not like 100% against it. So maybe it's a conversation TBD to have, but yeah, that is something good to think about. I hadn't considered like it's probably just a lack of knowledge, like assuming that being a DJ is just putting on a playlist and letting it go. And that's not really true. So that's just me not really understanding the full scope of it. So I appreciate that perspective.
Yeah. And like announcements, they're technically your MC. Mm-hmm. So you want to find someone who can, for the first time, you at least want that announcement, I think. Like you want your names to be, for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. or the happy couple. And also if you're doing toast and speeches, they're there to help transition that and make it cool. And those parent dances or first dances or any other formality songs, they're there to mix it and fade it out and make it sound really nice. So something to think about. But I think hit up that Facebook group if I were to give you a suggestion and say, hey, do you guys have any favorite DJs in the area that you think would be a good fit? And interview all of them. I interview every single DJ. We have to have a call and then start talking music with them. Start throwing out some song titles, see if they get it. And if they throw out another song that you like, you're like, oh, you know me. So it's like you have to vibe with them on the front end, ask them to send you mixes that they've done, listen to their sound clouds. And that's kind of how you interview your DJ. And I say give it some attention, but also if you're thinking of gifts you need people to give you, or if someone's like, how can I be involved? I would say, buy my DJ. I love you. And I appreciate your service. All right. So you had some timeline questions too that I wanted to tap in really quickly. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. So we have a start time for our ceremony. We have our venue for 12 hours. So 12 to 12 on the day of. And we're starting we're opening doors at 4 and starting quote unquote at 4:30, probably closer to 5. Get like, you know, let the people wait a little bit. But then I have no idea how to budget time after that. Like, I'm assuming the ceremony will take 20, 30 minutes. We're not doing a full religious thing or anything like that. No idea where to go after that.
Yeah. So generally what I say when you have a venue that has a set number of hours, make sure you're always giving yourself an hour and a half to 2 hours of loadout and always giving yourself maybe 3 hours, give or take, for load in, depending on what you're setting up. And if you need to drop those flowers or whatever it is, just give yourself some time to set it all up. Once guests arrive, generally my invite time is, if you're doing a 4 o'clock situation, I would invite guests at 4 o'clock. I would begin the ceremony somewhere between 4:30-ish, like process down the aisle. And that way you're giving yourself a cushion just in case you do run over that 4:30. But I think set the intention of starting at 4:30, just in case you go over a little bit. And understanding you have a hard stop at 5 o'clock. And then if you're doing first look or parent pictures or whatever that looks like, understand if you want to do them before the ceremony, I would say come 30 minutes in advance prior to that invitation time of 4 o'clock and say maybe do ask all family and friends or whoever's in formal pictures to be there by 3:15. You can do those from 3:30 to 4 o'clock and then start your ceremony immediately following, or mingle with guests if you want to, or go into hiding. I run a cocktail hour, and this is a conversation to have with your catering team, but I would say set the expectations of what you desire to happen the moment the ceremony is over. Maybe you are going to take pictures. Maybe your photographer is going to take you out into a field somewhere and do some cool shots or whatever. But I think understand, Are people waiting with champagne? Is the bar open? Is water ready to go? Is food immediately served? So talk through exactly that run of show with your catering partner, because they may be able to say, well, based on our timeline, we won't have the apps ready until 5:30. So I think there's a conversation that needs to happen internally with your F&B team to understand what happens on the catering front and the food and the beverage front, to say, I want service to begin at 5, maybe food comes out at 5:15. I run cocktail hour generally for 45 minutes. And therefore, 45 minutes gives you 15 minutes of transition from cocktail hour to then go find your seats, find your name card, do all the things, kiss and hug everybody, get to your seat. Moving people takes the longest amount of time. So always budget 15 minutes between each segment of moving bodies. And then I would say start your dinner, run your dinner from 6. Well, you'll sit down. People will sit down by 6 o'clock. You'll run formal entrances, do that whole thing. That'll take about 15 minutes. And then from there, you'll start, maybe the first course is coming out at like 6:15, 6:20. And then think about the toasts that are happening during the event. Those are generally running during your first course and your second course. I also time out the time it takes for them to clear the plates and serve out to 150 people. Usually this takes 10 to 15 minutes. That is a transition time that if you're going to stay with the playlist, that's a time to maybe change some songs, but or get people up and doing something. But work with your caterer to say, this is the run of show. Dinner should last about an hour and a half, 2 hours max if you're plating dessert. And then that way you have about 2 hours of dancing time for a full 4-hour reception.
Okay, perfect. That helps a lot, actually. I'm building a list of things that I need to email and ask them about in like the next week. And that's going to be part of it now. So thank you.
Because they're technically your planner because they're running everything. So ask them, like work with them holistically about what does my day look like from start to finish? Can you help me? And they will be able to. Also make sure you're working with your audio and light person to make sure someone is on there on staff the entire time to manage the dimming of your lights. As you move through dinner, you can probably dim the lights a little bit more just to enhance the mood and get people ready for dinner, for dancing afterwards.
Cool. That makes sense.
Love. All right. So if you were to do things differently, what would you have done? Trick question. Maybe not.
I would have talked to you sooner, probably.
I love you too.
So right now I don't know, to be honest, because we're still so early in the process that I haven't had time to like regret something. I think maybe the biggest thing would have been deciding on some of these things earlier, like not trying to nickel and dime ourselves and trying to figure out more like what's a realistic budget and doing more things in line with that and with the experience we want to create.
Yeah. And I think that's a good call. But you've made some good decisions and you've been making them from the place of what you know. And now you have a different set of mindsets a little bit. And you still got time. March is still some time to judge some things and move some things around. So sleep on it. Have a holistic conversation. And word on the street is you are doing a custom dress and you might have done that a little sooner. Had you known.
Yes. I very much enjoyed trying on dresses, but I just didn't get what I wanted. And I was getting ready. I was getting to the point where I was going to go with the first dress I tried on. It was cheap. It was just like not to disparage their name, but it was a very basic David's bridal dress that you see everywhere. And I was like, it's cheap, it's affordable, and I liked it. So I might as well do it. And then I went to what was the last boutique on my list, a local place, and was explaining like kind of some of my frustration. And the bridal stylist was like, you know, we do custom dresses, right? And so I booked a consultation with them right there and it was perfect. I didn't even consider that when I first started looking for dresses, because I knew it was a thing, but I just assumed it would be like, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to get something like that done, and like not even close, like a fraction of what I would have expected it to cost.
Yeah. Because anything is possible at the budget that you've got, and it does exist. And I'm excited that you found this dress. As you move forward in this, give yourself the chance to know that it exists exactly what you want for the price that you've got to spend. And don't cheapen yourself out. This wedding should be nice. Go hard, girl. You got the dollars. So
love it.
Well, I'm going to switch over to our expert because I got some questions for how does this custom dress process even work? So let's jump right into that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now it's time to ask our expert. Each episode, we'll be inviting wedding experts and insiders onto the podcast to dig deeper into our bride's biggest problem areas. Today, we have on Madison Chamberlain, a custom non-traditional bridal designer. What began as a ready-to-wear women's wear line, her work evolved into non-traditional wedding looks for people who do not resonate with the current bridal market. Hi, Madison. How are you?
Hi. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Dana, we love you. Dana's having a beautiful wedding in Oregon with her beau, and they're going to do something super saucy. And she thought a custom dress was going to cost buku bucks. But how many dresses did you try on, Dana?
I think I tried on around 60.
Whew.
Wow.
Spicy.
Wow. I wonder what the world record is for trying on wedding dresses.
What's Guinness? But Dana, when you were trying on the dresses, were you like, I like one part, I don't like this part, I love that part, I wish I could just put all these things together? What was your experience when you were there?
Pretty much exactly what you just described. Like, I would try on a dress and like the way it looked, think it looked flattering, but there would just be an element of it that didn't work with what I wanted to create. And so I just got to a point where I was like, I wish that I could have, you know, this top with this fabric, with this skirt. And I was ready to give up on the whole process and just get something that was cheap and looked good when I found this out. So
cool.
Yeah.
So Dana, I guess you stumbled upon this at the last salon you tried. They're like, you know, we do custom, Miss Lady, over 60 dresses. We can help you. We can find something just for you, literally. But Madison, do people really get custom dresses all the time, or talk to us?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think Dana, you're of one mindset where people are like, I've tried on so much. I like bits and pieces, but nothing is like, you know, meeting that mark for me. And then there's the other people that from the start really know that they don't envision themselves going into a bridal salon, standing in front of a bunch of people and saying yes, like that just doesn't resonate with them. So from the start, they come to me knowing they're going to do custom. And, you know, I also support a lot of nearly weds or brides to be that don't really have sizing available for them in the current bridal market. So it's kind of like an array of people that come to me, but there are a ton of people getting custom dresses, and it's such a special and personalized process. And Dana, I think you can probably attest to this, but you really get to have all aspects of what you're wanting your dress to have in it. You know, you don't really have to waver on anything. You get to have everything.
Yeah. That's one thing that I've really loved about the process so far is every time I've asked for a change, I've kind of approached it with like a, you know, I'm so sorry, but can I, you know, make this tweak or whatever? Like always saying, you know, if it's possible or if that's something that you're able to do. And they're like, yeah, it's fine. That's easy. And I've absolutely loved that to this point.
That's so funny.
How does someone even do this? Like, you go in, do you have to be like Dana and kind of know, like, I want this piece, I might want this piece, and can you, I got an idea. Or can people say, I have no freaking idea, walk me through it?
Totally. So again, both types of people come to me, and both are good. Both are okay. Some are like, hey, I have this vision. I'm inspired by this, this, and this. Can we combine it? Some come to me and they're like, I like your vibe. Let's go from there. And that's good too. So the process pretty much starts what we're doing right now. We hop on a virtual meeting. We do a consultation. I hear what they like. I talk to them about what feels good on their body to them, what doesn't. I always say to my clients that fashion is emotional, meaning that you know what it's like. You go dressing or you know, shopping, you put something on, you're either like, I feel great, I feel overjoyed, I'm about to strut on these streets, or you're like, I want to cry and die. Do not make me come out of the house. And whenever I'm designing something for clients, I want to make sure it's the first thing that they're feeling. So I say to them, like, what do you put on that makes you feel so good? Like, even in your like daily wardrobe. And if they're like, oh, I hate when I wear like a halter, I'm like, good, never going to design into that. Like, so it's kind of just having a conversation, getting to know one another, getting to know their wants and needs. And then from there, we move into design. So I do some rough sketches of things. We meet again, we go over it. And then I source materials, fabrics. I plug those fabrics into the sketches, present them again. We do lots of tweaking. Dana, kind of like what you just said, they're like, can we have this sleeve on this dress and this bow here, move it all together. And then we have their final sketch. So I'm not sure where you're at in your process right now, Dana, but are you going to be fitted in like a pre-dress before your dress?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I am. And that's probably going to come in a couple months. I assume I just approved the sketches. And then I'm going in on Friday to like pull the plug and do next steps, like put deposit down and all that good stuff. So
amazing.
All that's coming.
Exciting. Very exciting.
So basically you'll ideate on a dress. It's similar to planning a wedding, technically. It's like you'll put the pieces of it together, but you really don't get to see the wedding until the day of. But this is different. You get to see it before the day of. How long is that process of like kind of designing it and tweaking it? And like if Dana goes on Friday and, you know, goes into the sample dress or something and she's like, I actually want the sleeves shorter. Can you still make changes or how does that?
Totally.
Because she's like having some trouble asking for it. And I'm like, well, what is the deadline for that ask?
Right. I mean, at least for me, from the way I do it, you can definitely keep asking for that. So after we choose your design, we make a full version of your dress or your design in a muslin cotton. So muslin is the plain cotton version of your dress. We make your entire dress up and then we fit you in that. And at this point, we really get to see like, is the sleeve too long? Do we actually like the train falling down behind me? Like, do we want to like deepen the V? So not only are we perfecting fit at this stage, but we're really like going into design detail. I'm pinning up on you your final fabrics and like all the details and things. So you're kind of like, you're still having to use your imagination, but you're really getting a sense for it. And at this phase, you absolutely can still change like length and tweak things and everything. I would say at the point where any like big changes can't happen is like the final fit. Of course, you can still keep like hemming things, tightening things, making sure it fits. But any major design details, I feel like can sometimes be an issue at that phase.
Like turn this into a halter now. I like actually like halters. Yes. I've been working out. My arms look better.
Right. Or like, I've decided I hate this fabric. And you're like, well, the whole thing.
I wonder. We can make it into an aisle runner. So Dana, are you feeling a lot at ease right now? Or what's your experience in the process like?
I think the second I sent an email to them saying, yes, I want to move forward with this, a huge weight was lifted off my shoulder. That's great. I mean, there's still obviously a little bit of anxiety with not being able to see something before, you know, it's rather close to time. Like maybe there are changes that could be made, but you can't really go back if you don't see something for like 4 months before. So there's a little bit of nerves there, but just having the decision made was a huge weight off my shoulders.
Interesting. Madison, what would you say the average wedding dress cost is right now? Like off the rack, an average. Oh, I know it's slightly weird.
Average is so tough. I don't think I can even answer that because there's such a range, and two, like I don't really bridal shop. Dress shop off the rack that often. So I honestly don't know. I mean, of course I do like market research, but I guess average is like 4,000. Is that accurate?
That's what I was. Okay. I was like, she's somewhere between 2,500 and 10K, I think. So I'm like, I know that's a big range. I was like, somewhere in the middle there would be an average of like what I think most people generally spend, like 4,500, maybe 5K max is a national average for maybe the cost of an off the rack wedding dress. Would you say, and we don't have to do numbers, but what percentage would you say, how much do people generally spend on a custom dress
Something generic.
So I think there's a huge misconception that custom is like, you know, the most expensive route to go. Because when you really break it down, when you're designing from scratch, from the start, a custom dress, you are getting everything you need into that dress. So there's nothing that has to be added after from your local seamstress. There's no fittings that have to be done after from like a tailor or something. So often people get their wedding dresses and they have to bring it to another seamstress or tailor to get it to fit to them perfectly. That can rack up to $1,000+ more. So you're buying something off the rack for $4,000. You have to, you know, calculate in all these additional fees for just making it fit you perfectly after. When you go custom, those fees are not there. They're already added into the cost of having it fit you perfectly. So I would say it's pretty, you know, it's pretty like the same, like on par, but you're just like not going to have all of those fees coming after.
So it could be comparable to, if not maybe slightly less than an off the rack dress, because you don't have to consider alterations and these other accoutrements to get that dress to fit you the way you want to. Maybe you're like, I want to add a belt, or I want to, because you're taking that off the rack dress and really enhancing that one. But with Dana, she's starting from scratch and like, I'm making it exactly how I want it to be from the first go round. I don't have to embellish anything and I don't need a seamstress. It's mine.
Yeah, so. Exactly. She's going to put it on at her final fit and it's going to be made to fit her. Done.
Snatched.
Love. Yes.
Love this.
Dana, what else has your experience been like? I know the nerves are still there, but what are you thinking about now? Are you going to do veils and shoes, and what's going on there?
Yeah, so that's what I get to focus on now, since that's like out of the way. So the dress is going to be pretty dramatic. The fabric is like it's like sparkles everywhere.
We love.
Yeah, I'm real excited about it, especially with the lighting in the venue. I think it's going to be really cool. So what I've been looking at now is finding my shoes. I think I'm going to treat myself and get some fancy shoes.
Love.
Because if not now, then when else would I do that?
You deserve it.
That's completely in contrast to other things I talked about earlier when we were going through budget stuff. But yeah, I'm looking at some fancy shoes. And then I am trying to decide on a veil now, whether I want to just go like full sparkle and have head to toe glitter everywhere, or if I want to be a little bit simpler with the veil. But I know I want like cathedral length dramatic.
Well, Dana, I don't know if you know, but I am a veil designer as well. Hey. I would love to make you a sparkly, over-the-top cathedral-length veil. Sparkly is like, you're speaking my language.
Can I get one too, Madison? I want one too.
Yes, thanks, Fallon. Yeah. Of course. Just for life.
I know.
A grocery shopping veil.
Just for the grocery store. Dana, yes. we're going to get you hooked up. This is beautiful.
Yes.
So the store that you picked, though, and I think I want to understand a little bit more about, for those trying to find that right designer and trusting this person to really like make this thing sight unseen. And it kind of is the most important thing for your wedding day, sort of depends on your priorities. But Dana, tell us more about this store and like how many dresses have they done? Like what's their background in this?
Yeah. So I think their custom design program is relatively new, but I did try on a dress that they designed there. I didn't realize at the time I put it on that it was designed by them, but I really liked the way it fit. And then the person told me that they actually designed it themselves. And that's kind of what bridged the conversation initially. And then I think what else like helped me feel confident in asking them to do mine is I tried on two different dresses, one that had like this fabric and silhouette that I wanted and one that had the neckline that I really wanted. And I just made this comment that was like, gosh, I wish that those two things could be combined. And they were like,
we got you.
That happened.
And so how many dresses do you think they've done now? Like what number bride will you be?
I think I'm going to be relatively early. I don't want to like speak for them, but I think I'm like within the first 10, I would assume.
Interesting. Madison, talk to me.
Yeah.
Should she be afraid?
Oh, no. I feel like I think Dana, just knowing what you've been through up until this point, I feel like you're a girl that does their research, right? So I don't feel like you should be afraid. I feel like you made a very like educated decision based on the fact you tried on so many other dresses and everything. So I think this is the good avenue to take. The fact that you felt relief instantly, like that really says something. I think you're in good hands and this is going to be a dress uniquely made for you.
Yeah.
So I think that's like the best part about it.
Love. So how long does it take for people to make a custom dress in theory?
So for me, my timeline is 5 to 6 months. Okay. If you can give me more, I'll take more time, you know, but some people come to me like very last minute, they can't find anything, all of that. So 5 to 6 months is the fastest turnaround for us. And then I always say like, if you're below that timeline or have like less time, just reach out. We've done crazy things in shorter periods of time, but
yeah,
that's what mine is.
All right. And then if someone is looking for a dress designer like Dana and she's going to a spot and they're like, we do that, what are some questions that a potential nearly wed or a nearly wed should be asking from this designer in advance before possibly pulling the trigger?
Well, of course, I think like question one is like always like, oh, can I see your portfolio? And I know that this place is fairly new and everything, so they might not have that to show. And that doesn't mean that they're not good or anything like that. But
yeah.
I would say one, can I see the work you've done? Can I know what options are available? Can we talk about the process? Then I'd probably go back and do some of my own like Googling and see, you know, compare it to other people's processes. See if like this is something that feels comfortable for you. See if like how many meetings you have to go to. You know, it's like such a spectrum and it's different with each client, but some clients want to come in all the time. Some are very busy. They only want to every so often. And I think just finding a place that really suits you and what you're looking for is really important. Asking questions like that.
Awesome. And like, is there a world in which people have brought in, understanding it's custom, have they brought in like, and I maybe a seamstress does this, but like if Dana, maybe a grandma had a special dress that she wore, but Dana didn't really like it. Is that something else that a custom designer could do? Like, use an existing dress as like a shell and really enhance it and make it saucy?
Absolutely. So this is something that I actually do as well. We take mother of the bride's dresses and we use them pretty much just for fabric or any design details the bride wants to include. So we get to combine this, you know, beautiful thing to honor the mother or the grandmother with the aesthetic of the current bride-to-be and really create something that she will be excited to wear at her wedding and all of that. So that's definitely something a custom designer can do. Now, if you're looking to just have the dress like hemmed or fix a zipper, any local seamstress or tailor can do that for you.
Cool. What are some other misconceptions that people have about a custom dress? Because like Dana was saying earlier, we thought it was so expensive, but it seems pretty easy and accessible, but it just seemed like a mountain in our heads. What are some other misconceptions people have about a custom gown?
I think that it's just like a very laborious process. Like you're going to be like, oh, like I have to do this and that and always talk to this designer. Like it's really not like I have it. I know I broke it down for you, but it's pretty much like three meetings, and then you have your dress at the end. So I think like it is so different than showing up to a store and then saying yes and then, you know, leaving. But even at that point, you have to wait for your dress after you show up for that store. So it's just like waiting for your dress, but like in a different way. And you kind of get to like check on it in on it. Like it's a little baby. You get to be like, hi, how's it doing? I send little pictures of like me cutting it. I'm like, your baby is being like sewn together today. So I don't know. It feels like Christmas morning every time we get to like deliver a dress to somebody or have a final fit. So I think the process is more fun, but obviously I'm biased.
Dana, after hearing all of this, how are you feeling about your decision?
I feel good about it. I think this is just reaffirming everything that I'd already kind of started to think. Yeah, I'm excited. I think it will be like Christmas morning when I finally get to see it.
Yeah.
And I think that the process of waiting for that's going to slow down the time too. I feel like everything's happening so fast and like that buildup of anticipation will make the time slow down a bit.
Totally.
Dana, do you have any other questions for Madison since we've got a pro here? Since your designer might be slightly newer, something that you want to ask or make sure you're taking into account before you go meet them?
So, oh gosh, this is going to sound, this is speaking to my anxiety. But what do I do if I get the dress and it's the final dress and it's like, they didn't hit the mark. Like, it's just not there. Right. Like, what do we do then? Have you had that happen? And like, how would you react if someone said that?
Great question.
It is a really good question. I mean, knock on wood, I've never had like that happen. I've had where it's the final thing and someone bought like 12-inch platforms and we're like, okay, we got to add a lot of length to the bottom of this, like things like that. Or I've had it where they're like, actually, I think I want to show like a little less boob now. Okay. Say you put it on and you're like, I hate this, everything. I think that there are always, you know, I'm like stressed just thinking about it.
I think there are
always ways that you can like tweak something to like it. So I think you put it on, try and like breathe. Don't react right away if you're not feeling good. Look in the mirror and really try to identify like what is not making you feel good. Is it something bumping out on the side? Is it this? Is it that? Like really trying to identify like what is not giving you that like, you know, star like feeling. And then once you've identified what those things are, voice that to the designer and then come up with a game plan on how to fix that. Mm-hmm. I really don't think that you're going to show up that day and like 100% of the dress is going to be bad. You've been involved throughout the process. You've seen sketches, you're going to see fabrics, you're going to see a pre-dress, like you're kind of like signing off along the way. So as much as it's going to be like a surprise that day, it's not going to be like a foreign object to you. You're going to like be like, oh, this is my dress. Hey girl, how you doing? Mm-hmm. So I think I'm very confident that you're going to be just fine. And if there is anything you don't like, it'll be fixable.
Agreed.
Love it. Thank you.
Of course.
And close your eyes and actually envision it as more amazing than you could have imagined. Like you step into it and you feel like, I don't know who your favorite celeb is, but you feel like them. And you're like, I'm walking out the store right now. I'm going to go run my errands. I'm going to do this. This is my dress, honey.
Yes.
Like imagine it zipping up and it fits just perfect. And you open your eyes and it's like Cinderella. Like I would say, imagine that moment more than what if I put this thing on and it's orange?
Yeah. Yeah. think positive thoughts. We're going to put
positive
energy. Shout
out to anyone who does have an orange dress though. We love you. We love the vibrancy. like just knowing that how weddings are, it's like, I work with a lot of brides who have so much anxiety of like, and the dreams that happen as you get closer to about my dress doesn't fit. It ripped. The cake fell down. It's like, there's so many worlds and rabbit holes of which we could all go down of like how terrible your experience could be on the day. But let's try and switch that to like, oh, I'm going to be the baddest thing in that. Well, we already know that you're going to be the baddest thing in that room. You're going to look amazing and spectacular and your custom dress will fit exponentially beautifully. So I'm excited for you, Dana. You're going to have a sexy ass.
I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see it.
It's going to be so good. Madison, any other pro tips or just things for folks to think about when they're thinking about custom?
I think just think about why you're choosing the custom route. You know,
we love intention.
I do too. I also think about like, I would say like when you're going to the designer, really be clear about like the do's and the don'ts. If you have inspiration, great. Don't drive yourself crazy on Pinterest. Mm. It's not necessary. Someone's going to design something for you, and we don't need to make something that's already out there. We're going to make something unique and cool for you. So I think just showing up with like an open mind and being excited for the process and being clear about your boundaries within it, you're going to have a great result then.
Agreed. And I would jump in and say, make sure you're being heard too.
Totally.
And that you think the person is really understanding you and that you're really connecting.
It's a relationship.
It's a relationship. This person honey, it's your first one. Yeah. So, So make sure you're really vibing with them and they understand stylistically exactly what you're getting, what you're asking for, and don't give you any pushback. Like, oh, well, we can't really do that. Or we can't like, get it until it fits just right. Pun intended.
Yes. absolutely.
With all of your vendors. All right. Well, that's it for this week's episode of Betches Brides. Dana, can we follow along with your wedding? Please say yes.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Where on social can folks find you?
So I'm pretty exclusively on Instagram, and my handle is at Dana Shea Bird, like bird.
Oh, love. And Miss Madison here, where can folks follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Madison Chamberlain _. It's the same on both. And Dana, hit me up. Hit me up for that veil. I got you. I'll make you a sparkly veil.
Photos.
Yes.
All right. You guys can follow the show at Betches Brides on Instagram, and you can follow me on Instagram at Fallon Carter Events. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now. We'll have new episodes every single Monday, so be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on our next episode. Thank you so much for listening. Until death do us part.
Betches.